Hello and good morning. Welcome to the Finance Show here on tiptv.co.uk. It is 10 a.m. on Wednesday, the 12th of April, and I'm joined by Mike Ingram, a strategist at BGC Partners. And we have to enjoy all these meetings that we have here at the Tip TV studios, because you never know, each one of them could be the last.
Indeed. I feel like I'm the harbinger of doom at the moment.
But well, it's just World War III. It was just, I've seen it around the place.
Well, I think that covers it, yeah.
Any fears in that area? Or do you think that...
If your time's up, it's up, isn't it, really?
Okay, and speaking of that, what's your view on the Barclays situation, the CEO there?
I think he has to go, frankly. There are so many disturbing things about this. I mean, perhaps the most disturbing thing about this episode, as I understand it, is it took another whistleblower, to uncover that Jez Staley had been doing these things last summer. So between June, July of last year and January of this year, the board didn't seem to be aware that this unauthorised investigation into the identity of this whistleblower had actually been initiated by Jez Staley. It totally brings the whistleblowing process into disrepute. And the message that came from me is if you go after the CEO's posse, basically, because, my understanding is the person who was... had allegations levelled against them last summer was one of the people that Jez Staley had brought into a senior management position, then you better watch out. And, you know, this is the sort of one rules for this bunch of people, and they're golden, they're bulletproof, they're beyond reproach, they're beyond question, and everybody else better keep their heads down and keep quiet, is part of the problem. Another part of the problem is, well, they say, well, Jez Staley's doing a good job at Barclays. Therefore, we should just give him basically a slap on the wrist, which is cutting his bonus.
What about the Nixon mantra where you say that if the CEO does it, it makes it right?
No, I think I take the opposite view. I think the fish rots from the head.
It didn't work for President.
And the person, well, exactly, that ended badly, didn't it, as I recall?
Right, let's go on to the most popular in business and finance. I'm sure there'll be some of that to follow. China's Xi calls for peaceful resolution of North Korean tensions in call with Trump. So that's he's the peacemaker, which is good.
Only Trump could go to China.
Right, okay, so we go on to the next slide, where we've got good news from Tesco. It reports a 30% rise in full-year profits, but has taken a £235 million charge for allegedly,
we knew that charge was coming in. The market is going to be more focused on the operating profit uptick. Interestingly enough, though, I was looking at the current recommendations from brokers this morning on Tesco's, and they seem to be indicating they think it's come too far too fast. So you've got 6 buys, 6 holds, and 10 sells, which is quite unusual, because normally it's very difficult to get an analyst to write a sell note usually on most companies until it's probably bottomed out. So watch this. There's a general feeling that with inflation coming through, you've got this sort of shrinkflation coming through. Certainly the food retailers are in a better place than they were a year or so ago, where they were still suffering from food deflation. Having said that, you know, are you going to get Tesco back to, 5% operating margin, where it was only a few years ago? Not a hope.
Isn't that new ruse of the price in the aisle is not the same as the price at the checkout?
I don't go shopping often enough to know, to be honest.
Nor do I, really. This is what I've heard. I'll try and get a retail expert.
I've got a butler or anything like that. I just don't like shopping.
Let's go for the next next slide. Oil in biggest rally since December. Saudi's back curbs. Iran's Ahmadinejad, but I can't even say his name. Exactly. Registers to run for president, seen as a hardliner. Oil trades higher on the announcement. So... things brewing up in a negative way geopolitically in that region.
Yeah, I mean, also oil given a bit of a boost because the largest oil field in Libya was closed yesterday morning. So that's taken another 200,000 or so barrels out. I mean, ultimately, whether they are able to hammer out a deal or not depends on players such as, Iraq, actually shown relatively low levels of compliance, and of course Russia, that has certainly been very, very slow to kick in with its promised 300,000 barrel per day reduction.
Okay, next slide is Economic Canada with yet another speech from Mr. Trump, Bank of Canada monetary policy report, and then crude oil inventories maybe they'll stoke the fire of the oil price. Okay, going on to FX sentiment, where we've got the Aussie dollar in the lead, up 10% as far as the shifting money of Oanda clients is concerned. Weaker on gold, rather surprisingly, well, maybe not surprising, to maybe taking profits after the latest jump through $1,270, $1,280, but a mix there between gold and silver. And then bottom of the table, more long on euro sterling, but basically that leaves it as at 50-50. I think the yen went below, well below 110, yeah. And unfortunately people have been piling into that on the way down, yeah. So got the wrong side of the break there so far. Crude oil from Investors Intelligence, the 14-day RSI is entering overbought, some sideways action may soon be necessary, but that looks quite, looks as though it's, to me it looks still quite strong. Moving on to gold, the ETF there, strength should continue over the short term up towards $125, which seems rational and logical after the recent consolidation just below the $120 area. And then the co-report on the S&P, the S&P found intraday support from its 50-day exponential moving average yesterday. The uptrend still stands, and with the 14-day RSI relaxed across neutral, which is amazing given what's been going on, but in line with what we've had over recent months. And then the trade of the day, Standard Chartered, rising trend line breached, signs of Trump trade losing steam. And I suppose the bank's a little bit off at the moment, aren't they? I mean, in general, even with Barclays,
the whole, I mean, the whole reflation trade is looking quite wobbly, isn't it? I mean, it was a glass half full trade, wasn't it? Because it was Trump is going to do all the good things, all the market friendly things. He's going to cut taxes. He's going to deregulate. The banking sector was very much front and center of that that move. And he wasn't going to do any of the unpleasant things like, you know, charging off into Syria and, you know, saber-rattling in North Korea and starting trade wars with China. Well, we're at the moment, the only part, one of those three, which doesn't look like it's imminent, is a trade war with China, if only because he perhaps needs the help with North Korea. He's doing all the other bad stuff, at least in the market's eyes, so not surprising.
All the things he wanted to do have actually been blocked, so he's just doing the things he can do.
And you know, you also have to wonder whether or not, you know, his change of heart vis-a-vis Russia is you know, for him to prove that he's not a Russian stooge. I mean, he's, you know, Donald J. Trump Jr. was saying, yeah, this proves that my dad is in the pocket of the Russians. You go, well, it's a hell of a way to make a point.
Coming from the sun. Yeah, sell around, sell Standard Chartered around 7:30, objective 6:80 at the 200-day MA, and stops above 750 pence. Broker recommendations, looking at those consumer staple companies, Reckitt Benckiser and Unilever at Berenberg, both with big targets on the upside. I think Unilever is probably 20% below that still. And then Atkins, which had a £2 billion offer, a buy at Liberum Capital, and they're still on their lap of honour on that one. Onto your slides, Mike. Mm.
Yeah, I just thought it was worth revisiting what's going on with the French elections, actually, because actually I saw an article published in yesterday's Economist that said that the competition had become a four-way race. I don't quite see it that way, but you have had this pickup in support for the socialist official candidate, Mr. Mélenchon, who's a communist, hence the Reds are coming comment. You know, he's very, very hard left. He's all talking about, you know, basic income, lots of wealth redistribution, and so on and so forth. And that you see there at the top, the person that this time around we thought was going to be a shoo-on, Emmanuel Macron, beating Le Pen. That his support, yes, it's still high in absolute terms, but it's come down quite a lot. And I think you see this pickup in the Mélenchon support. There are people thinking, well, hang on a second. What does that tell us about the people that might back Macron in the first round, in the second round? You know, you've got a lot of people who don't want business as usual, and Macron is effectively business as usual. That's why the markets like him. Some of these votes might vote for Mélenchon in the first round, which has kind of been uncovered because, you know, he's come up from a low base, you know, but he's picking up almost 10% of the vote quite quickly. They're thinking, well, maybe that's going to switch in the second round, and maybe Le Pen's going to pick up some of that support. You know, you've got to remember that, you know, in the UK referendum vote, the profile of the, you know, Brexiteer was a pretty eclectic. Brexiteers drew support from all different parts of society, and that's what makes this election so difficult to call, and one of the reasons why markets in some respects are looking wobbly again.
Okay, let's go on to next.
Yeah, I was looking specifically at sort of measures of French risk. So one measure that I've looked at is the spread between German bunds and French oats, the equivalent French bonds. Obviously, a higher spread indicates that the market's factoring in a higher degree of risk. And I've also looked at the two-year credit default swap, basically a measure of credit, sovereign credit risk in this particular case. You can see it's still at elevated levels, and in fact, on the bund spread, it's actually reached new highs, maybe because the bund spread's a bit more depressed because the ECB is, reiterating that the tapering is not imminent. But as I said, even though a lot of the headlines until recently have been like, well, Le Pen momentum is fading, it's going to be Macron, in some respects the market is definitely in two minds about that.
Okay.
And the other thing I'm looking at is whether there's something a bit more systemic about this. We were looking at French risk specifically on the previous slide. We've also seen implied volatility in the Euro Stoxx 50. Only a small minority of those stocks are actually French, but you've actually seen a pickup in volatility. Yes, of course, at the moment with the geopolitical situation, you've got volatility in equity markets has picked up overall. But this started several weeks ago. You've also seen this so-called 25 delta risk reversal between euro and Japan. Now, this is basically option pricing. It's people willing to buy upside calls on things like the yen against willing to buy protection, say puts on the euro. And basically, there's a massive skew. People don't want to be in euro. They much rather be in yen. You've seen that overnight in terms of that move through 110 vis the dollar. And in fact, on that measure, that's the highest degree of skew we've seen since the UK referendum in June last year.
So this could have been a leading indicator on whatever's going to happen next.
Yeah, it's very, absolutely, because it's interesting, because you see that green light at the top, that dropped off actually on the 23rd of March, and it's because that's the 1 month. It's the bets on a 1 month horizon. Mm. Now, the 23rd of April is the first round of the presidential election, so that's why you see it on the timing. And interestingly enough, when you look to that equivalent measure on, say, cable last year, you saw this on the 23rd of May. So even though you saw sterling trade at 149, 150. The option market was saying, wow, there's massive downside risk on that. So if you'd looked at that, you would have perhaps been a bit more circumspect on your trading in cash.
Mike Ingram, strategist, BGC Partners, thank you very much for opening the Tip TV Finance Show. Well, I'll work out how to say Ahmadinejad properly for next time.